Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I am Corey.
I'm Garrett.
And we are in our third and final study of a section we're entitling Complete My Joy from Philippians 2, 1 through 4, which, as we've talked about, has been really kind of the hub of the entire letter. If you get it, you'll get what the whole letter really is about, that the idea that Paul's joy wasn't complete because they haven't had unity, and they needed to adopt this attitude of others before self, which he really focuses on, really spells that out for us in these two verses. We've been telling you that all along, that it's others before self. And you may be wondering, where do you get that from? Well, here's where we get that from verses 3 and 4, where he's been talking about if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort, love, participation, affection, sympathy, then complete my joy, but having the same mind, love, being in full accord of one mind. And then he tells us, if you want to make Paul's joy complete and have those qualities in verse 2, here's how you do that. Verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not look on his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So he doesn't actually say others before self, but in two different ways at the end of verse 3 and all of verse 4, what he's saying is put others before self. So let's talk about that. If you want to make Paul's joy complete, number one, don't be selfish.
Yeah. do nothing from selfishness, which can be a motivation, if we let it become a motivation. He talked about before, earlier in chapter 1, about people that were letting selfish ambition, it says in chapter 1, verse 17, they're letting selfish ambition drive their proclaiming of Christ. Well, is selfish ambition or selfishness driving what you're doing? You know, it may be that you're doing and saying all the right things, but if that's coming from a place of selfishness and pride and, you know, making myself, you know, front and center, then that's still not the attitude that the Lord expects from us.
Yeah, and the root word here is sometimes rendered as strife, like it was back in verse 15 of chapter 1. So the idea of factions or parties or rivalry or pushing for our own way, anything that divides, Paul says we can't have that here. And then he says, do nothing from conceit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, empty conceit. Here this is just being someone who's self-seeking. And again, maybe it's that idea of, you know, putting myself in the limelight and, you know, I'm the main character and all this kind of stuff. But that's the idea here, is that, you know, it's all about me. I'm a self-seeker. I'm looking at what I can achieve, not what the team can achieve. And so that's the idea behind this word.
Empty glory or selfish glory. And again, I'm dealing with allergies, so I'm letting Garrett do most of the talking today. But then he says, so there's this contrast here.
Instead,
do it in humility of mind. You know, making sure that you look at others with humility of mind.
Yeah, humility is something that I think
it's the opposite of that last one.
It is. It's the opposite of being in the limelight, of empty conceit and being self-centered. It's also the opposite of being selfish and just thinking about you and no one else. I heard I had a one of our mutual friends has said that originality is forgetting where you got it from. Maybe that's this, but I've forgotten where I've gotten this now, so I'll say it's my definition of humility. But I heard humility's definition one time. You know, we think about humility, or at least I did for a while, about, you know, just putting yourself down for everybody else. And, you know, it's not necessarily that you're just being a doormat for everybody, but I heard a definition of humility that said it's not thinking less about yourself. It's about thinking about yourself less. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's not that you're just degrading yourself for the sake of the people around you. It's that I'm not worried about me. It's, again, it's this opposite of empty conceit and selfishness, in that I don't care who gets the glory. I don't care, you know, if we're continuing with the sports. I don't care who gets the MVP trophy. I don't care who gets the Heisman, whatever. I care that we win the game, you know. And if that means that I'm sitting on the bench the whole time, then that's fine. If that means that I'm the star, whatever. But I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about who has the most plays or anything. I'm concerned about the success of the team. And where that fits here is I'm not concerned about – me and mm-hmm. and, you know, glorifying my name and making sure that I'm the one that everybody recognizes. I'm making sure that Christ is proclaimed. I'm making sure that the gospel is furthered. I'm making sure that the people around me in church feel valued and accepted and loved. And, you know, where that puts me, it doesn't matter as much. But I'm just going to be humble and stick to where we're at.
Yeah, and if we're going to put others before self, it begins with having a proper view of ourselves and then having a proper view of others. But that's where he begins here in saying others before self. In humility, have a proper view of yourselves, that I'm not most important. I'm looking at others greater than myself. And then that last thing there, in humility, count others more significant than yourselves.
Yeah, you're esteeming other people instead of you. You know, this is an idea where instead of glorifying yourself and putting yourself in that limelight, like we've been saying, you're regarding other people. I'm going to praise other people and give other people credit where credit is due. Mm-hmm. And any opportunity that I have to glorify and promote and thank and encourage the other people around me, then let's take that opportunity. First of all, for me, so that my head doesn't get too full, you know, and be more concerned about myself than I ought to. But also, there's a huge value in encouragement, which, by the way, is one of the things that Paul points out in verse 1 here. There's a huge value of encouragement in being one of those first people that comes up and is encouraging other people for what they've done. That goes a long way for whoever you're encouraging as well. So if you want to be encouraged, start encouraging others, maybe.
Yeah.
It's hard to make it all about me when I'm too busy, praising other people. And it helps me, it forces me maybe to realize that it's not just me that's created any kind of success.
Right. And I think it also is, sometimes you see people doing that, praising others or encourage, but it's for their own benefit. They're trying to make themselves look good. And here he's really negating that by saying, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. This is really the way that I think.
Yeah.
Is that I'm not really what matters. There's a lot of people that puts on the front,
right.
But are you really? And you see that over time. How that people react or interact, or, you know, they're one way around certain people and another way around different people. And, you know, that's not the kind of attitude that, that he's wanting us to have. And then verse 4, kind of the same way saying the other, what he said at the end of verse 3, but let each of you not look only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard for me to be self-promoting and spend a lot of time and energy and resources self-promoting if I'm more concerned about what's best for you and not me. Here's a very applicable, personal, genuine way that you can apply this humility and others before self mentality. Is looking out for other people's interests over your own. If I'm concerned about other people's interests, then I'm not going to be. I don't have time. I don't have time or energy to be too focused on myself. So there's, you know, practical application in verse 4 of how we are to react, and specifically maybe some ways that we can implement those kind of attitudes in daily life.
Yeah, so don't just look at your own stuff. Look out for others. And you can't see others' needs if you're only looking at yourselves, which, you know, when he gets to some other of these examples in, like, verse 19, he's hoping that when Timothy comes, he may be cheered by news of you. Mm. What I would think, if I'm in prison, I would say, what would cheer me up is if I got out of prison. Yeah. But Paul's saying, what's going to cheer me up is if I hear you're doing the right thing.
That's going to make my joy complete.
That's going to make my joy complete. Yeah. And so that's the attitude that we should have, which, by the way, we've talked about how that there's all these examples of Paul as others before self and Timothy and Epaphroditus and all that. But ultimately, they're all mimicking what is the greatest example of others before self, and that, of course, is Jesus. And so that's what we'll be looking at the next section, is being like Christ Jesus. But we hope that you have been benefited by this study. We hope that all of it is making sense now, especially since we've gotten through this section of verses 1 through 4 of chapter 2 of Philippians. We're thankful that you studied along with us today. We hope that you'll like, share, subscribe, comment, whatever you need to do on social media and wherever you get podcasts to get the word out. We hope you'll tell others about this podcast and encourage them to listen to it daily. We hope that you will dedicate 5 to 10 minutes with us every day, whether you are you know, mowing the yard or just getting ready for work, driving to school, relaxing in the evening, anywhere in between, that you'll dedicate some time every day to study along with us as we continue to look through Philippians. We continue to look into God's Word and see what His message is for us on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.